bottom of the 4 o'clock hour at WHYY. Matt Gillum with you on a Tuesday. Stay right there. News headlines are up next for us. Stories from NPR in the newsroom at WHYY.
WHYY is supported by our members and the Philadelphia Orchestra. The orchestra celebrates 125 years of music, innovation, and legacy with a sparkling opening night concert. Yuja Wong joins Yannick and the orchestra to perform Ravel's jazz-laced piano concerto in G major. The program also includes Mark Hayes' Danzon No. 2 and Julia Wolf's Pretty, September 25th. Ticket details at philorc.org.
Live from NPR News in Culver City, California, I'm Dwayne Brown. World leaders are gathered at the United Nations in New York to address the ongoing wars in Gaza, Sudan, and Ukraine. This comes weeks after President Trump met with Russia's leader in an attempt to end Moscow's invasion of Ukraine, but Vladimir Putin has shown no sign of stopping the aggression. Today, Trump blamed some EU members, as well as India and China, for continuing to buy Russian oil.
China and India are the primary funders of the ongoing war by continuing to purchase Russian oil. But inexcusably, even NATO countries have not cut off much Russian energy and Russian energy products, which, as you know, I found out about 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't happy. Think of it. They're funding the war against themselves.
The question now is, how much pressure is Trump willing to apply on Russia's Vladimir Putin to get him to possibly change his ways? Former Vice President Kamala Harris endorsing Zoran Mamdani in the New York City mayor's race today. NPR's Brian Mann reports this comes as other top Democrats have shied away despite his win in the Democratic primary.
Mamdani, who's leading in the polls, describes himself as a democratic socialist, and he's been critical of Israel's war in Gaza. For weeks after his primary win, many democratic leaders kept their distance. But speaking this week on MSNBC, former VP Harris said it's time to back him.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, he's the democratic nominee and he should be supported.
New York's democratic governor, Kathy Hochul, endorsed Mamdani earlier this month. But two of the country's most powerful democrats, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, both from New York, have so far declined to back Mamdani. New York's Democratic State Party Chair Jay Jacobs says in a statement he won't endorse Mamdani because of their differing views. Brian Mann, NPR News, New York.
And you're listening to NPR.
At 4:32 in Philadelphia with WHYY News, I'm Matt Gillum. Delaware schools will offer all students free breakfast under a new universal breakfast law. Officials say it's meant to ease the burden on families and ensure kids start the day ready to learn. WHYY's Johnny Perez Gonzalez reports.
The state will spend about $3.2 million to expand the program, covering the gap federal funds don't pay for. Amy Beam with the Department of Education says the law not only makes breakfast free for all students at any income level, it also helps end the stigma tied to food assistance.
So we don't have to worry about children feeling perhaps that they don't want to get breakfast because they don't have enough money to pay for it, or they're worried it would accumulate student debt on their account. It allows all students in these schools equal access. So we eliminate that stigma associated perhaps, with somebody feeling like they can't pay for their breakfast.
Lawmakers say their long-term goal is universal lunch. But with a price tag of $45 million, that expansion is still out of reach. From the Delaware desk, Johnny Perez Gonzalez, WHYY News.
Cheltenham residents are pushing township officials to adopt a formal welcoming policy to shield immigrants from the Trump administration's crackdown. At last week's public meeting, Township Commissioner Matthew Armin said Cheltenham is working on something to present to the board in October. He says it could be a policy, a set of principles, or a statement.
I know some of our neighbors have done some of these things, but we want to make sure we're being deliberate and not attracting negative attention to our township, but also expressing where our principles are.
People at the meeting said the community has to take a strong stance to protect the rights of immigrants. Gray skies and stormy conditions across part of the Delaware Valley at this hour. Well, parts of the listening area, rather, Redding coming in at 77 degrees currently with heavy showers, possibly some thunderstorms moving through that area as well. Gray skies over Philadelphia. Temperatures, though, still staying rather warm, 82 degrees in Center City. 74 along the water in Cape May. Princeton sitting at 82 degrees. Temperatures stay warm tomorrow for Philly. We're looking at highs in the lower 80s. Time, 4:35.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from BritBox, committed to helping viewers to see it differently with British TV. With new original series like Code of Silence, about a deaf woman recruited as a lip reader in a high-stakes police investigation. Streaming at BritBox.com. From Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Since 1946, AU has supported the First Amendment right of freedom of religion. More at AU.org. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Juana Summers.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Today in Seattle, the U.S. government and Amazon are making their opening arguments in a case that could change how companies sell you stuff online. The Federal Trade Commission claims that Amazon tricked users into subscribing to its Prime membership program and then made it difficult to cancel. At the heart of the case is something called dark patterns, also known as deceptive patterns or manipulative design. Monica Nicholsberg reports for KUOW's economy podcast, Booming, and has our story.
If you've ever found it impossible to find the unsubscribe button or accidentally opted in to accepting all cookies, you may have fallen for a dark pattern. The term was first coined by Harry Brignall, a user experience designer and psychologist.
When you use a website or an app, you're probably part of a psychology experiment that the business is running. You're like a lab rat in a maze, and they're trying to work out what sort of design is most likely to get you to engage in the behavior that makes them the most money.
That might look like a big, bright button that signs you up for a monthly subscription, next to a tiny gray one that says something like, "No thanks, I don't want to save a lot of money." Anyone who's ever tried to cancel a gym membership knows this kind of thing predates the internet. But Brignall says,
the internet has transformed the ease with which we can deploy this stuff and the ease with which we can measure it and prove that it works.
Experts like Andrea Matuition say when that design tricks a consumer into doing something they didn't intend to, it becomes a dark pattern. She's a law professor at Penn State University, and she served as an academic advisor to the FTC.
The question is when design crosses the line into a situation where a reasonable consumer does not have a fair shot of understanding what's going on.
The FTC's job is to crack down on deceptive business practices. In the lawsuit, the FTC claims Amazon used dark patterns to trick millions of Prime members into renewing their subscriptions. When NPR reached out, Amazon didn't respond directly to that claim, instead pointing to a trial brief that says enrolling in Prime always requires affirmative consent. The brief also says there's no clear law that prohibits dark patterns. Instead, the FTC is trying to take a broad law against fraud and make it apply to these practices through interpretation. Matuition says the law is written to be intentionally broad, so the FTC can regulate whatever the technology and business practices of the moment are.
If you hand me a stack of papers with all of the relevant terms about our contract, and you decide to rubber cement two pages together, were the pages all there? Well, yeah, technically they were all there, but you did something extra where I was unfairly disadvantaged.
The FTC says that Amazon didn't just convince users to unknowingly renew their Prime memberships. It also accuses Amazon of making it really hard to unsubscribe. The complaint describes a 4-page, 6-click, 15-option journey to cancel, and claims that Amazon had a code name for this process, the Iliad Flow. Lori Craner, a professor at Carnegie Mellon University and director of its SciLab Security and Privacy Institute, says that code name is revealing. English majors may remember the Iliad is about the epic 10-year Siege of Troy.
When you look at these deceptive and manipulative patterns, in some cases, it's easy to believe that they were not intentional and they accidentally made it harder than it should be. And then there are other cases where you just have to conclude that they did it on purpose.
Amazon didn't respond to questions about the Iliad flow, but again pointed to the brief, which says there are at least 40 ways to get to the cancellation page. And once there, unsubscribing takes a matter of seconds. An FTC victory could make an example of Amazon that discourages other companies from using dark patterns. But if Amazon prevails, it's likely to be business as usual on the internet. For NPR News, I'm Monica Nicholsberg in Seattle.
One crypto giant is not well known inside the U.S. It's called Tether. Under the Biden administration, it struggled to expand in the United States due